This is After Dark number 5. This is tape number 10. This is side 1. Let's get back to Ann Nashif and our roundtable in our final installment.
I'm looking at your old board over there with the rotary pots, and they're all color-coded, the green, the blue, the red. So all you have to do, you don't have to think when you're reading your copy. You grab it, and you know you got the right one. Now it's computers. There are a zillion buttons, the touch screens. Is it ever going to get to the point where the technology gets in the way of the air performance?
There is some problem. You know, I can only point out to back to the years back in the 60s. It was just starting to die then. But there was a time when you had an engineer and talent. Mm-hmm. And basically, it'd be like at your station where you had somebody who was punching your carts and turning on your microphone. You'd give these hand signals. And unfortunately, here on the tape, we can't show you how you do the hand signal. There are prescribed and there are set in procedure hand signals. There are certain things that you do, you know, like cut the mic, you know, bring it up, you know, and all that stuff.
And you screwed up my newscast.
Yeah,
that's always a good one, too.
Yeah, you screwed it up. Well, you didn't record it. You know, back when they made the change from talent doing their own board, you saw a lot of people drop out of the business. And it was basically the bigger announcers were able to keep their talent, while the guys who were kind of in the middle, they kind of fell on the wayside because they couldn't run a board and talk at the same time. I think with the computers, it's beginning to be like that because there are some people who are very computer illiterate. And I don't think that there's not even calling 1-800-ABCDEFG, show me my DOS 6.2 and everything else is going to help them. They're going to still not know how to run a keyboard. They're not going to know how to call up a file. And they're probably going to be the ones that in the middle of the night when they're half sleepy, delete out every commercial out of the system.
I've done that.
File overwrite. Yes. No. Okay. Let's hit yes and see what the hell happens. But There's a lot of people who technology does get in the way. And unfortunately, what's going on now with computers doing a lot of things, you forget the simple things. You know, like back in the old days, God, I'm getting older by the minute. The announcer would have to also run the transmitter. So you were taking meter readings all the time. And, you know, once every half hour, you got up out of the chair, you walked back with your clipboard and your pen, you looked at the meter and you said, okay, let's see, we've got 3,200 volts at 1.6 amps, common points this, wattage outputs this, and you write it down and you hang up the clipboard and you go back and finish up your record. Nowadays, it's all handled by remote controls that are computerized and such. And you listen on the radio and there's a lot of times stations go off the air and they don't come back on for about a half an hour.
In fact, that happened to me Saturday morning. I was stuck board hopping, a football game nonetheless, and the station just died. I was sitting there and it just died. And I called up, you know, the transmitter on the phone and everything was just perfect. And I had no idea what happened. The station just went dead. And a few minutes later, it just came back all by itself. Nobody knew why.
Yeah.
But I mean, I am not an engineer. I have no idea what to do. When I got my license, I just filled out a little card and mailed it to the FCC, and they sent it back.
Well, it's not just, you know, it's not just the license. It's the technology of not having to recognize the meter readings and such, you know, see the thing happen. You know, the big thing that we always noticed when I lived up north was, of course, in the wintertime when you have the ice and stuff, ice forms on FM antennas. And as soon as it gets to the point where it's thick enough, it usually kicks off the transmitter, and it's usually very not too graceful. There's one of two things happen. Either the transmitter just goes off, or it goes kerchunk, 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 until finally something else overloads and it goes off the air, or it ends up burning up the transmission line. So, you know, back when I was on the air up in Michigan, it was always one of those things, whenever you start seeing the snowfall, you'd always go over to that remote control and check that thing and see how much reflected power you had. And nowadays, you know, it's, I hate to say this because it makes me sound kind of crude, but it's humorous to read in a magazine about, WXXX got their transmission line burned up. I go, guy didn't check his antenna, did he? You know, because a major ice storm, you know, the antenna gets iced up and they're running a completely automated station and nobody's around to see it happen.
The satellite dishes too.
Satellite dishes too.
It just sits there and freezes.
Yeah. Yeah. They just, you know, 20 years ago, we never really had to deal with satellite dishes and stuff. So, you know, then gets packed up with snow, and then the guys inside the building scratch his head going, gee, I wonder why ABC News is not coming through here.
You know what happened to us one night? In fact, it was like a week this was going on. We had no idea. Nice weather. Couldn't have been, you know, snow or anything else. But we were having satellite troubles. We noticed it during our network talk shows, during the CBS News top of the hour. It would just, like, break up, and then gone. And a minute later, it just come back. No idea why. This goes on for about a week. Finally, one day, one of us is out in the backyard looking at the satellite dish. A bird flew into it, and we noticed little pieces of straw coming out of the little antenna part. It was building a nest in there. So we just got a little baggie and taped it around it, and that solved the bird problem. But it's just little things, and you have no idea what it is.
Yeah, it's, you know, these little quirks that happen. There's another story which is along the same line, which I saw written up from a guy up in Idaho. Station was on, this was during November. Station was on the air. Jock was, you know, talking away, and all of a sudden the transmitter goes off. Well, this is one of the stations like out in Idaho where the transmitter's like, you know, 14 miles up on top of a hill. So anyways, you know, the guy calls the engineer and says, hey, we're off the air, blah, 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 blah. And all of a sudden it comes back on. The guy goes, well, it came back on. The engineer says, oh, well, maybe it's just a power fault. Okay. Well, two hours later, the same thing happens. Finally, the engineer goes up, gets up this mountain somehow, and it's all snow covered, finds out that sitting on top of the building is the air exhaust for the transmitter, and sitting on top of the building is this hunter who's sitting on top of the air duct warming himself from the air. And of course, as soon as the transmitter would overheat because it couldn't get the air through, he'd get up and he'd walk around for a while, and he'd come back and sit down on top of the air duct. So it was a humorous story because, you know, as an engineer, you sit there and you look at that and say, yeah, I can see how that happens. Question is, do you challenge a man with a hunting rifle?
We have a question here. What technologies have been the biggest for broadcasting in the last 10 years, and do any of them include something that'll benefit the blind?
Yes. With the advent of computers, has helped out the speech programs that they have available. There are computer systems now which enable a blind person to, say, read the Associated Press wire, which you could never do before. There are systems which enable you to query the transmitter for readings. There's voice remote controls where you basically call it up and you enter a couple digits and it'll tell you what the output of the transmitter is. There are now systems available to be able to basically read a piece of paper and be able to take and give that to a blind person either as a braille document or be able to read it back to them, so at least they know what it's saying. So I think it's opened up the broadcasting industry to a lot of people.
I've known several people who are blind and who have gone into broadcasting, and which seems natural because it's a talking, you know, mm-hmm. audio medium. And it just amazed me how they can go in and write their copy and they do their thing, and they can. I saw one guy who had, he could read his meters with a little light sensor.
Yeah.
You know, that just always fascinated me.
Yeah, there was a guy up in some little station up in Michigan, and I always wondered how he was able to read the VU meters on the front of the audio board. Finally, he let me in on the secret. He had a little circuit that basically it hooked up to the meter, and every time the meter hit zero, it put a little beep in his headphones. So he knew exactly when he was hitting the, you know, the right level.
When you hear it slamming all the way against the right,
yeah,
you're overmodulating.
Solid tone. A little voice came on and says, turn it down, dummy. The computer industry has brought to the forefront a lot of interesting technology for the blind. And now even on computer bulletin boards, you're seeing more blind people communicating with other people around the country.
What do you think will be the impact on TV in the future due to the advances in radio and technology in general?
I think television is going to be in for hard times. I think television is going to is going to get to a point where it's going to be competing with itself, and quite possibly with satellite systems and with fiber systems available in many communities, you're going to possibly this is just a gut hunch, if you want to call it that. You know, with systems such as Primestar and fiber and satellite, there may come a time when NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, and everyone says, why do we need an affiliate? when we can ship a signal into Lima, Ohio, that is perfectly watchable. And because we have these digital computer systems, which we're able to play the commercials, we can sell our own commercials in that community. Why do we need an affiliate? With the advent of being able to ship information back and forth throughout networks, why do you need different services which are going to be so very able to be able to provide services to other stations? Basically do away with the network.
Do you think any of the media that we're used to now is going to get left off the information superhighway? No on-ramp?
Good question. I think you're going to see a loss of national media. I don't think that there's going to be that much of a need for a radio network, meaning like NBC News at the top of the hour, bottom of the hour, your CBS News at the top of the hour, bottom of the hour. Because as the technology increases, it's going to be easier to form regional networks and even maybe some city networks to be able to take and pull down actualities from your national service, but then include them into a local newscast with a local flavor into them. Say, for example, you're doing a story on Haiti, which comes down from CBS, and then coming out of that story, talk about somebody who from the community, which is possibly serving in Haiti. I think you're going to see less national networks, but more regional and city networks or county networks. More stations are going to be able to pool their resources together to provide better news coverage, which up till, you know, just recently has been hard to do.
So what's the average radio or TV station in a town like Lima, Ohio, going to have to do to stay competitive?
I personally feel they're going to have to do the news, sports, and weather. They're going to have to provide a good service to their community. They're going to have to go and work hard to bring forth the information to the public. If they sit back and take the attitude of, we're going to play network news and that's our news commitment, it's not going to work. People are going to go elsewhere. And I think, you know, we see it on other stations here in town. We see it in other communities. That's why stations are dying. People want information. And look what happened during Operation Desert Storm. You know, all of a sudden, news listenership just shot up.
Sure.
And people want to know what's going on. And in your smaller communities, I can't think of one off the top of my head here where, you know, we could actually say it happens. But, you know, a community that's smaller than, say, 3,000 people locally, maybe a county size of 9,000, you need almost that flavor like that radio station on Northern Exposure, you know, where they have the local yokels get on the air, basically, and talk about the lost dog reports. I remember hee-hawing about that when I was a kid, you know, working in a station, little small market station. You know, why do you do the funeral reports? You know, why do you have the sheriff talk about what was lost and found? Why do you have the wedding report and all that stuff? Well,
Everybody knows everybody.
People like to know that stuff. They're interested. Now, of course, that doesn't happen in the big cities anymore, but it happens in the small cities.
Sure.
There's been numerous times that I remember hearing Tradio, Puppy Patrol, and a host of others, you know. The only ones that always bothered me was the funeral reports.
But that morbid sense that,
yeah,
you know, it's
is.
Why you go to slasher films. You know, you kind of like hearing about that stuff.
Well, that's just it. I mean, it you know, there's a certain curiosity to it.
Who do I know on that list?
Yeah, I see. Who died? Okay. Well, fine. I wonder if I'm next. Yeah. Best thing I've ever heard mentioned about the subject was a guy I worked with in a news department up in Michigan who said he doesn't mind reading about it as long as it's not his own.
John, you have to admit that the technology out there right now promotes a small staff.
Do you think there's any kind of decline going on in the rural stations versus the bigger market stations? You know, I mean, there is a perception amongst some of the DXers that smaller city stations, smaller markets, that is, seem to be dwindling while the bigger markets seem to be getting bigger.
I don't have any real insight. I can read Jerry Starr's column in the DX News magazine and what I hear on the DX audio service, and there is simply no doubt but what the stations that are going silent, by and large, are from small markets. Teeny markets in some cases. But you'd have to be awfully careful making such a study because, as you know, Fred, many of the recently licensed broadcast stations, AM and FM, I mean radio stations, have applied to serve some teeny community when really they're after the big city just, you know, 8 miles down the road or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look over the list of silent stations as printed by the National Radio Club in its various publications, there's no question but what the smaller markets simply can't support any kind of radio staff, and therefore the stations go silent. But I'm not speaking with terrific insight on this. I'm just saying, hey, I've noticed that as we go along.
It's one of those perceptions that we all have just from listening to the columns and seeing what's going on in different cities.
Precisely.
Do you think digital technology will result in the revitalization of AM?
The revitalization of AM, let me go way out on a limb so everybody can argue with me, is due solely to Rush Limbaugh, period. In other words, it's the software, not the hardware, that's going to revitalize whether it's AM or FM. If you go digital and don't have good program material, you're going to sell 100,000 units. But that's peanuts. I mean, you got to sell millions and millions of these things to make it worthwhile. The 100,000 being the first kid on the block all over the country.
You know, and I have to agree with John on that because I think it's a principle that I've always used, that AM radio is kind of like vaudeville. If you don't have a good show, people aren't going to go. Would you say that's right, John?
Yeah, absolutely.
And you're from the vaudeville days, aren't you?
Thank you, Fred. My great-grandfather probably went to one of those silent movies, yes.
Fred, I'd like to thank you for talking about radio today.
Thank you for stopping into the studios here and talking with us.
Anytime.
Chris Conner, who does the announcements on the DX Audio Service, also works at Airshift at WBUK here in Lima, Ohio, and I thought maybe you'd like to hear an air check of her. Give a listen.
And good evening, straight up 7 o'clock now. Chris Conner on the radio station playing Lima Land's greatest hits of all time. It's WBUK, Fort Shawnee, Lima, Oldies 107.5.
He went away, and you hung around.
Oldies 107.5, it's the Big Buck with the greatest hits of all time by request. 222 Buck, that's 222-2825. And Bobby V is for Rex tonight on the Big Buck.
Rubber ball, I come bouncing back to you, you. Rubber ball, I'll come bouncing back to you. Rubber ball, I'll...
Hi, the Big Buck.
Yeah, I would like to hear Temptation Eyes, please.
Yeah, we'll put her on there for you.
Okay.
And what'd you do for New Year's Eve this weekend?
Designated driver.
Uh-huh. The one to count on, huh?
Yep.
What's your name?
Rob. Yeah, I'd like to hear Elusive Butterfly for Cindy.
222-BUCK for all requests. Oldies 222-2825. Let me know what you need to hear on the playlist tonight. Bob Lind and Elusive Butterfly on the Big Buck.
Wake up some morning to the sound of something right. Elusive Butterfly of love.
Everybody, I'm Bob Shannon, and today Stevie Wonder is going to pay tribute to a jazz great. Is it Bird? Is it Train? We'll find out next on Behind the Hits.
Downtown Lima.
The Big Buck Weather.
And the Tom Churchill forecast for Columbus Grove, Rockford, Bell Center, and New Bremen. Clouds tonight and dipping down to a low around 15 degrees. More clouds, maybe flurries tomorrow. High 26 and Wednesday, snow possible. Continued cold with a high 20. Right now, 19 degrees at Oldies 107.5.
A big buck.
Play Chevy Van.
Yeah, I'll do that. What's your name?
Betty.
I gave was like a picture she was laying there. Moonlight dancing off her head. She woke up and took me by the
Thursday and an island never cries.
Hello, the big bug.
Have you ever played that request, Oh What a Night?
Oh, December 1963, the Four Seasons?
Yeah.
I can do that. What's your name?
Lisa.
And what are you doing tonight?
Nothing, just listening to the radio.
Hey, make it one better. Phone in that request to 222-BUCK. It's 222-2825. All request oldies.
Yeah, have you played an Elvis song this hour yet?
Oh, man, y'all are antsy out there. Taking caller number 7 right now. You're paying attention. And we'll get you qualified to win the King of Rock and Roll's complete 50s Masters. It's 140 tracks and 5 CDs from Sun and RCA Records. 14 unreleased songs on there, too, you know. Caller number 7 right now at 222-BUCK will be qualified to win Elvis the complete 50s Masters from Gromy's CDs and tapes and the Big Buck.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog.
Oldies 107.5, it's the Big Buck with the greatest hits of all time. And congratulations to Jeff Sprague of Crittersville. Heard the King was caller number 7, and now Jeff is qualified to win 140 tracks on 5 CDs. It is called the Complete 50s Masters of Elvis. You know, the King's birthday is the 8th of January, and we're doing this to celebrate. So you keep in mind, anytime, anywhere here on the Big Buck, when you hear Elvis, you be caller number 7 at 222-BUCK, and you'll be qualified, too, to win Elvis the Complete 50s Masters from Gromy's CDs and Tapes, your source for new and used CDs and tapes at the corner of Robb Avenue and Elina Road. Grand prize drawing is Monday morning, January 9th at 7:20 on your station for good times and great oldies. It's the Big Buck.
Reindeer.
Oh, that's great. Hey, we're
more
talking
choices
holiday
for lower prices. Meijer, talk about a better store.
The Big Buck.
The forecast for Herod, Anna, Middle Point, and DeGraff, Lima Land. Cloudy tonight and low 15. More clouds, maybe flurries tomorrow. High 26. And Wednesday, snow is possible. High 20 right now. A chilly 19 at Oldies 107.5.
A Big Buck.
Everything's going my way.
Evening 7:59. Chris Connor on your home for good times and great oldies. We're WBUK for Shawnee Lima. Oldies 107.5.
The Big Bug.
There she was, just a
walk-a-walk. Lima's official oldies station. Oldies 107.5.
The Big Buck.
When you just give love.
Well, the Big Buck.
Could you play for me, Gimme a Little Sign by Brenton Wood?
If you do want me, give me a little show.
See my baby. What do I
solid gold rock and roll.
107.5.
Could you play Soldier Boy?
Yeah, okay. What's your name?
Lori.
Are you working tonight?
Oh, I'm making dinner. I think that's work.
Oh, man, and you know what they're having tonight? Homemade noodles, chicken, and mashed potatoes. Sounds darn good. 222-BUCK for all request oldies. Doing it till midnight tonight, you buzz me, 222 Buck, and we'll put your favorite on the air. Here's the Shirelles and the Big Buck.
Soldier Boy.
It's the Big Bug for good times and great oldies, and that's for Jack. Tasty little nugget from the Syndicate of Sound, and hey, little girl, it's 820, Chris Connor Long, and all request oldies 222-BUCK. It's 222-2825, and join the Big Bucks, Todd Walker, live Friday from 3 to 6 at Professional Computer Center Incorporated. The address is 708 North Dixie Highway in Wapak. It's your Professional Computer Center, your authorized leading-edge sales and service representative. And whether they need inkjet, printer supplies, software, service, or computer furniture from Souder, you find what you need at the Professional Computer Center. Friday from 3 to 6, join Todd Walker there on the Big Buck.
This is Dr. Michael Craig, along with Dr. Self. Come and find out if it's right for you.
The Tom Churchill forecast for Salina, Lafayette, Anna, and Middle Point. Clouds tonight, low 15. Cloudy and flurries tomorrow, high 26. And for Wednesday, snow and, ooh, is it cold? High just 20 on Wednesday. Right now, it's 19 at Oldies 107.5.
The Big Buck.
Hello, baby. Yeah, this is little mama. You make me feel real loose, like a long-necked goose, like a girl. Oh, baby, that's what I like.
Spread the word. Pass the buck. For good times and great oldies, it's
the Big Buck.
Yes, I was calling to put in a request. Maybe you don't remember Lean On Me.
The Big Buck.
Call me a heart.
playing the greatest hits of all time. Oldies 107.5.
The Big Buck.
You shake my nerves and you rattle my brain. Too much love drives a man insane. This is great, balls of fire.
Rab-a-lab-a-lab-a-lab-a-ding-dong. Rab-a-lab-a-lab-a-lab-a-lab-a-ding.
Oldies 107.5, The Big Buck with Chris Connor along and all request Oldies 222 Buck. 222-2825.
So would you warm it up out here and play Indian Lake in Crittersville?
I sure will.
All right.
What's your name?
Mrs. Turner. I'm the
222-BUCK. Maybe chilly, but hey, the good news is temperatures held steady for 2 hours. Too bad it's only 19. Here's the Cow Seals by request thinking about cool water at Indian Lake on the Big Buck.
Swim in the cold, have a snack in the cold. We have good times and great oldies. The Big Buck.
She don't belong to you. Just cause her got them little skinny legs. You know that ain't no way to do it.
Nice air check, huh? A fantastic lady. Before we get out of here, here's some KDKA jingles for you.
1020 KDKA Pittsburgh. 1020 KDKA Pittsburgh.
That's After Dark number 5, tape number 10, side 1. So let's flip over to side 2 and get into some more trouble here on the DX Audio Service.